Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But it is time, ladies and gentlemen, for Plank of the Week. And I'm delighted to say that today we have two very, very famous people joining us. Kevin O'Sullivan, of course, the evening time host of Talk Radio from 7 till 10, and Belinda De Lucy, former MEP for the Brexit Party. Now, we should probably not say ladies first, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I think you should go first with your first Plank nomination of the week.
Can I just say I'm identifying as a woman, so...
You can't.
Oh, okay. And can we just give a trigger warning?
I'm identifying as a lady.
Oh, are you? Yes.
Can we give a trigger warning to Cambridge students now who have been very upset with the term ladies recently,
have they?
Even though they're not my Plank of the week?
Yes. We should actually have a warning. You know how they do those warnings at the start of movies?
Yes.
You know, some of the scenes in this might be disturbing for you. And so if you're particularly woke, you won't really enjoy it.
But now they cancel the term trigger warnings because the word trigger warnings or the term warnings
it's
will
triggering.
Frighten them.
Yes,
who was it that had a horse called Trigger? It was Roy Rogers, wasn't it? That had a horse called Trigger.
Well, I love that you call me a lady. You're probably the only one that does.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's what you are. That's what I'm going to call you.
Thank you. So my first Plank of the week, it has to be the Brit Awards.
Whether you watch them
or not. I mean, they have done so. They have submitted to the altar of woke and they have scrapped the male and female category for their 2022 awards show.
Quite right, too. Do you know, I did a rant about this. I actually said the reason this is a good idea is because it will be a lot shorter. Because now they won't have to hand out best male singer and best female singer. They'll just have best singer.
I fear you're wrong there, Mike, because I know what they'll fill the time
with. Oh, yes, preaching on climate change.
Elongated speeches by the wind.
It will. It's very painful. And it's all because one of the reasons they're planks as well is the motivation behind it is a massive baby nappy tantrum from Sam Smith, the king of narcissists.
Sam, I can't take it anymore. Come and rescue me from my 12.
My swimming pool's too cold.
Do you remember the lockdown photo he sent around sobbing while Captain Moore was doing hundreds of laps of his garden, raising money for the NHS at age 100? There was Sam Smith at his £12 million mansion, sobbing at how awful lockdown was for millionaires. I mean, this is the guy that has said, I want award shows to be more reflective of society. Well, great, mate. How about then award shows are filled with 80% white, 23% OAPs, 18% disabled, 51% women? Because that's what he's literally saying.
Yes.
The woke are going to end up eating the woke. And let's be honest, most men are going to win now. And then the women are going to cry sexism.
And they're going to say, why can't any women? Also now what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to look very seriously at the list that they put together. And they're going to have to make it all about quotas, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're going to have to say, well, if we've got, say, I don't know, 5 nominees... Oh, no, we can't do that, because that'll mean there's 3 and 2, so we better make it 6 or maybe 10.
Yes.
They'll have more nominations.
It was a whole world of pain now.
Yeah.
I mean, the Brit Awards slumped last year, 800,000 less viewers last year. They're almost on a mission to get the lowest viewing audience possible.
Yeah, I can't believe anybody watched it anymore. Last time it was interesting was when that bloke from Chumbawamba threw water over John Prescott.
I was sitting at the next table.
I was
sitting at the next table.
And that was, how long ago was that then? It must be 20 years?
In the early noughties.
I loved the Blur and Oasis fights at the Brits. These kind of fun alpha male, like gnarly, knuckle-dragging.
Jarvis Cocker running out when Michael Jackson was performing.
Who can forget 3'2" Samantha Fox and 6'8" Mick Fleetwood presenting the worst presenting double act in the history of show.
But at least it was
fun. Has been a car crash year after year. And you're right, Belinda, the audience is plummeting.
It's plummeting.
And this will make it even worse. The problem we have to worry about there is, of course, the Brits has now set the mould and all other award ceremonies will do the same. So the Oscars will be no more best actress, best actor. It'll all be single gender. And where's the fun in that? Where is the fun in that?
It's always the women that lose out, because also if men can identify as women, you know, what's the point nowadays anyway of having a women's category? It means nothing. So the whole thing is basically going to make it harder for women to ever win anything. And that's fine. Maybe we should up our game. Mm. But at the same time, we do have a different experience in the pop industry. You know, we have babies, we have to stay at home, we can't tour as much. It would have been nice to have kept the categories.
By the way, can I just make a point about babies? Stella Creasy's annoying me this week, right?
Yeah, well.
Stella Creasy, every time she pops up, she's got a baby with her. She was being interviewed.
Is it hers?
Well, I think so. I hope so. I don't know if she's got.
Maybe it's a new virtue signal accessory.
You go up to a woman with the baby and go, is that yours?
Yeah. Excuse me, I'm a politician. Excuse me. Can you lend me your baby?
No, but she was on Question Time, right? She was on Question Time last Thursday night. Yeah. She didn't have the baby with her actually on camera, but the baby was with her. I don't know whether she doesn't have a partner. I don't know whether that's something I shouldn't say. But, you know, she's being interviewed on College Green down at Westminster, and she's got the baby in a papoose. Strapped to her. And I'm sure the new thing is, and I'm sure that I'll be castigated horribly because, of course, she could take the baby to work. Why shouldn't she? Well, because it's a baby and, you know, the baby should be somewhere else, shouldn't
perhaps
it?
Perhaps it's nice of the baby to be out of bright
light. Well, I wouldn't take my baby to... We don't bring your baby to work,
though. Say, look, there's your gerb of food, you know.
Well, do you know, there was a story we can tell about that without naming the individual. You may know the story. It's a colleague of ours, a former reporter, still a reporter, actually, and he was left in charge of his child, who was about one, I think, at the time, and it was his day off, and he got a call from the office to go to Amsterdam. And he didn't say, I can't go because I'm looking after the baby. He just went, yeah, OK, then. And he tried to sort of hunt around, because his wife was working as well, tried to hunt around for for somebody to look after the baby. Couldn't find anybody. Went anyway. She came home some hours later. And he'd left the kid in a sort of safe environment. But basically, it just disappeared.
Yeah, with some cigarettes, okay, bottle of scotch.
So maybe let's just let women take... Also, you don't know what the women have been left
How did
on
his
own.
Wife take that? Not
she
that
divorced
one.
Him.
Fair news.
I think that's probably fair. Yeah. But I'm sure that there will be people that will say that I'm old-fashioned and I'm wrong. But, I mean, I don't think people expect you to turn up for work every day if you've got a baby with a baby, do they?
Unless you have to. If it's a case of having to, then
well,
I understand.
Well, she's an MP. I would have thought
she's on a salary.
She's got a reasonable salary. I mean, it might be an argument to say, why isn't there a creche at the at Parliament, which there probably should be.
But you know it's going to be men next who kind of start coming with a papoose, and it's all going to be...
Jacinda.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She set the mould with her, you know, breastfeeding. And that she went on to get the top job.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what Stella's thinking. Oh. This baby is a good career move.
Yeah, well, she needs to get her teeth done as well if she wants to be like Jacinda Ardern.
Nice.
The only woman who goes to the dentist and asks for more teeth to be put in. Can I have more teeth, please?
I don't think I can fit any more in, Jacinda.
Now I feel as a woman.
You've got 700
Sorry.
Already.
This is now turned into some.
Woman
yeah, okay.
Personal
All right.
attack.
All right.
Poor Stella.
Okay. Well, she's not being nominated, so that's one
that's
thing. Because I can't
true.
Do that, obviously. So, well, Adele is probably going to win all the Brits this year anyway,
of
isn't she?
Of course, she's
a woman.
Mother Teresa of everything.
And she's a woman. She may make a feature appearance later on, so I won't say too much about her. Kevin, who's your first one?
It's Stella Creasy for Keep Taking Her Baby. No, sorry.
Sorry, Stella.
The parole board.
Yeah, excellent choice.
Which, with its...
Nobody knows who's on it, right? We don't know who's on it.
No, exactly right. So, but it was in 2019, 2 years ago, they wanted to release the taxi rapist John Warboys.
Yeah.
There was a huge outcry. Mm. One of his victims, by the way, was Carrie Johnson.
Yes, right. Well, it was down to her that he was kept
in. Yeah, huge outcry saying, we cannot let this monster back on the streets because he'll re-offend. Fortunately, in that instance, the Ministry of Justice backed the bid to keep him inside, and he was kept inside. 2 years later, Colin Pitchforth, the parole board, in its infinite wisdom, decide this man is ready to be let back into society. Ask anyone. The guy is a sex fiend psychopath.
But they were also
he
asked...
cannot cure these people.
No, but they were also asked by Alberto Costa MP, who we get on quite regularly here, to re-examine the case, because he had been speaking to the families. He's the MP for the local area near Leicester. And the families were absolutely horrified at the idea this was going to happen. And they re-examined the case and did it anyway. Yeah. And you just think,
well,
what on earth are you
point.
Thinking?
That's the point, that you had a similar outcry that we heard when they were fixing to release John Warboys.
Yeah.
But this time, actually, the Ministry of Justice didn't really do very much, and the parole board won the day.
Mm.
The two victims were Linda Mann and Dawn Ashworth, and the mother of Dawn Ashworth, Barbara Ashworth is her name, just said, I can't believe they're doing this. And she said, I've got one message for them. A leopard never changes its spots.
Absolutely.
And, you know, psychopaths, you cannot cure them. They do not get any better. Now, the point about Colin Pitchforth is he's 61 years old. He's, in other words, still sexually active.
Yeah.
And, of course, they released him. You know, they demanded that their decision should be respected. He was released. And apparently, since September, spent most of his time down the local park, posing as a park keeper, hanging outside three local schools, approaching teenage girls.
Exactly.
You know, in other words, they made a decision that directly endangered society.
Yeah. Yeah.
More to the point, directly endangered young women.
Mm.
Outrageous.
Yes.
Now, we know, we don't know who's on this parole board.
Right.
And until there, it is going at the moment through what they call a root and branch reorganisation due to the John
Which
Waters.
Usually means they'll change the name of it in a couple of years.
Do nothing else.
So we don't know who's on this parole board, but I've got a fair idea most of them read The Guardian.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They believe in the reforming nature of prison and after
30
years.
Well, if you talk, And I mean, I was saying to somebody today, it's not a one-size-fits-all. You know, sure, some people can be released and some people can be rehabilitated, but not these characters.
No, but if you kill a child, you're away for life. That should just be a given.
Well, also with this guy, had he been sentenced later on, once they brought in the full life term, he would have got a full life term anyway, so he wouldn't have been parolable.
But what they say is, when these people were imprisoned, and we're talking about Pitchfork and McGreevy, we didn't have in place this whole life
sentence.
That's
what I'm saying,
And this is the kind
Which doesn't mean they have to be released.
But this is still the kind of legal eagle nonsense that leaves ordinary citizens in a state of bemusement.
Yeah.
And it's the left-wing idea that criminals are victims of society.
And it's not their fault.
No, and it actually puts so many people at risk, especially women. Mm. All these politicians beating their chests about protecting women.
Yeah.
And they let men off.
Let these guys
out.
I mean, the only thing that can be said about the Pitchfork case is at least they were monitoring him properly because they did find out what he was doing. And that at least is giving you some small crumb.
But that costs so much money.
No, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm saying it's one small crumb of comfort that at least he's now back behind bars. What I worry about is that they'll somehow, in a year's time, decide to release him again.
Yeah, but I've got a feeling he won't get out again.
Well, let's hope not.
But it is this fallback. This is what they always say. Because if you take Wayne Cousins and Sarah Everard, he got this new thing, a whole life sentence can never be released. In the days of Pitchfork's imprisonment and McGreevy and various other monsters, even actually Ian Brady and Mara Hindley, there was no such thing as a full life sentence.
Right.
And they said, oh, well, you see, legally we can't give them a whole... Rubbish.
Yeah, right.
Rubbish.
No, I know.
Let's have a bit of common sense.
Don't
ever let these people out.
Exactly.
They won't democratise it. They'll never give us a chance to vote on sentencing.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
And that's where I think we have never got a say over this. No more in order.
I know. Well, I'm going to go back to the royal family for my first nominee, and it's going to be for a change, not... Meghan and Harry, even though I have got a possibility of carrying them over because they've been so plankish lately, it's just unreal. This time it's Prince Charles. You might remember Prince Charles went up to COP26. His mother couldn't make it, so he had to go and do all the glad-handing and mingling with all the various
Prince
people.
And Prince William,
And Prince William as well. But he also made a speech in which he talks about making everything greener and everybody doing their bit to save the planet and, you know... He presumably drove up there in his
crisis.
He calls it. He says. Crisis. I mean, he claims that he runs his Aston Martin on cheese and wine. I don't believe that for a second. Do you?
I believe it, but it costs about $300,000 to convert your car to that.
What, to cheese and wine?
Yeah, you can.
Stink,
well, it's not only cheese, but it's just all rubbish. You can do it.
Yeah.
But no one else can afford it.
Like vegetable waste.
You know.
Well, most people can't afford the Aston Martin, never mind converting it.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair.
Certainly the
But anyway, he certainly would have gone up there with plenty of security. Loads of Range Rovers, no doubt, driving around. Anyway, it turns out that he's not as green as he pretends to be, right? Because down at the Queen's Norfolk estate, Sandringham, they've got a winter lights display going on, which he's in charge of. And guess what powers the winter light display?
Go ahead, tell
Diesel generators.
Not cheese and wine, though.
No, because guess what? You can't get generators that are powered with anything else, because the reason they generate electricity is because you need fuel to generate the electricity. So that's what he's doing. And apparently it's got 60,000 bulbs. Now, I'm as big a fan of Christmas as anybody, but do you really need 60,000 bulb light displays at Sandringham to bring in the punters for whatever it is they're paying £18.50 each to walk through? You know, these kind of winter wonderland type places. Hideous. I mean, you couldn't pay me to go into one. People are paying nearly £20 a time to go and see this stuff. And I don't know where the money goes, presumably to pay the bill for the electricity.
Probably.
One would have thought. And just as an aside, I see that the Insulate Britain numpties were back at the weekend blocking Vauxhall Bridge and vowing to continue to do it. Meanwhile, one of them is, I think, on hunger strike in prison.
Of course they are.
I mean, you think they were, you know, actually battling some kind of really massive... you know, totalitarian force.
Well, I think the people
suppressing them.
I think the people's vote lot, when it dispersed, there was a core group there of sort of middle class yuppies who didn't really have jobs, nothing to do, who were desperate to join the next protest.
Yes,
and that's where Extinction Rebellion and all these
other they all did come out around about that time, didn't they?
Exactly, and they've got nothing to do with their time. Now, I think they're spending Christmas in prison,
if I'm right.
I hope so. I think absolutely good, because they're hurting people.
Yeah.
Protest all you like.
Well, there was a guy who was trying to get home to see his son, do you remember? And they just wouldn't let him go.
Ambulances. Yeah. And what did that guy say? It doesn't matter if ambulances can't get through. This message is really important.
Right. It really
and he didn't
isn't.
Even insulate his own house.
No, he really didn't. And
it's the hypocrisy of it all.
It's absolutely unbelievable. But Prince Charles ought to know better. I mean, I'm not a fan of politicians getting involved with the royal family, and neither am I a fan of the royal family getting involved in politics. I don't think they should. They certainly shouldn't be endorsing, you know, Boris Johnson's green agenda. Idiots.
Well, climate change should be the reserve of the wealthy and the bored.
Yes.
Because really, leave poorer people alone.
Well, poor people can't afford to talk about it because they're too busy working.
Exactly. If royal people and billionaires want to fancy pants their way around the climate change agenda, leave them to it. All the best to you, but just leave everyone else alone.
Yeah, exactly right. Who's your second one then?
So my second one is a little bit more serious, but I read it and I was so shocked. This is the Toronto School Board.
Ah, yes.
And they have withdrawn support for events that feature a written testament by a Yazidi girl called Nadia Morad. Now, Nadia won the 2018 Nobel Peace Prize because having been enslaved by ISIS and shared around soldiers and bought and sold, seeing her mother and six brothers marched off to be killed, she was forced to wear makeup before she was raped. She was gang raped so badly she was left unconscious. This is her lived story under ISIS. Mm. And they have stopped her publication or any events that include her publication from happening because they say her testament might offend Muslims and encourage Islamophobia. And what makes me so angry about that is it smacks of the whole shut up for the sake of diversity thing that went on in this country, whereas you ring fence a group of people and you cannot criticise and scrutinise them if they belong to a certain faith. And that in itself fuels Islamophobia. The lib left bleeding heart lot don't understand. They actually increase prejudice and Islamophobia by ring fencing them, saying they can't partake in debate. Muslims can't defend their own faith. Well, of course they can. Everyday Muslims don't have anything to do with the terrorist organisation in Syria.
No.
But apparently you just can't talk about it. So now Yazidis are not allowed to talk about it.
Isn't this similar to that case in Birmingham? You know, when there was a school protest going on, a lot of parents were outraged because, you know, a lot of Muslims turned up to complain about the fact that, you know, sexuality was being taught in school children. Right. Some of it was homosexuality, but it was just about education. It was sex education. Yeah. But the left didn't know what to do because they didn't know whether to accept the complaints from the Muslim community or defend the sex education from the LGBT. So they didn't know what to do. So they just didn't do anything.
Yeah,
they just kind of paralysed.
Same with the grammar school teacher up in Yorkshire, wasn't it? That is still in exile, still hiding out because he had the temerity in a religious affairs lesson to teach the kids about the Charlie Hebdo cartoon.
And if you look at the recent terror attacks, from the Reading attack where three gay men were slaughtered, that lasted a week. Then you had David Amos. What was that in the headlines for a week, maybe?
Now
you've had the car blow up outside a women's hospital that could have maimed and killed veterans and their children. And now that's gone from the news. But if it had been anyone else, they would have been scrutinised properly and talked about. But I feel like if it's infiltrating schools and now girls can't even talk about their experience under ISIS, it's actually damaging. It's linking Muslims to ISIS rather than separating them. So the left don't know what they're doing. They're completely by me. So that's my plank of the week.
But I mean, the whole trans area has become completely and utterly kind of deranged anyway, hasn't it? Because you've got the J.K. Rowling story this week where she's been banned from taking part in the thing that she created on the grounds of her views on trans. We had Essex Police who put out a tweet, I think, on Trans Awareness Day or something like that, in which they talked about the number of people who had been killed because they were trans around the world. And people were going, well, hang on a minute, there's a lot of women killed in Britain during that same period. Why have you not put up a sort of memorial for that? And they then got so much abuse from the general public that they took it down, but then announced that they were going to investigate all the people that had been abusive for hate crime.
They're ring-fencing.
And you're going, so you're now actually creating a criminal wave of people being abusive by putting something up there that doesn't need to be there.
When the left sort of instinctively sort of leap to the defence of the trans lobby, what they're actually doing, you know, the trans lobby got every right to protest their corner, to fight their corner. But when it gets taken up on a grand scale by the left, what they're essentially doing here, in many cases, they're cancelling women. They're women, you know, you don't hear men referred to as people with penises.
Yeah.
But you do all the time now hear of women being referred to as people with cervixes, you know, people who get pregnant, people who menstruate. Yeah. Why? Why
it's
are we allowing
yes.
the cancellation of women? It's sexist.
But it's also the abrogation of words to me. You know, they're using words in not the right context or not the right way.
Language as well.
Yeah.
I am being forced, and we all are being forced, because there's punishment if we don't, to use language that we don't believe in and that we don't recognise. And women get it in the neck because it is trans women. It is the males who identify as women, a small minority
who
of them,
are driving it,
who do it, the trans community a disservice. They are stalking, harassing, threatening, the rape threats and death threats J.K. Rowling has had from males.
Right.
But because they wear a dress or identify as women, that suddenly cancels out
that's
their threat.
No,
the thing is about J.K. Rowling, and I suspect we three too, it's just this. You know, I'm all for the trans lobby. You know, if you want to change, you know, become a different gender, you know, go for it. I support you all the way. And I will treat you if you, you know, you're now a trans woman.
I don't really
woman.
Care whether they do
but
it or
I'll
not.
Treat you as a woman. Yeah. I'll call you she. Everything you want. But do not ask me to deny the reality of your personal history, that you used to be a male.
Right.
You were born a male. You know, I can't do that because I haven't got the intellectual capacity to deny fact.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Right.
And that's all J.K.
But
Rowling
is
saying.
That's what people get upset about. And that's the ridiculous nature of the argument, isn't
and
it?
And if the whole gender thing, you know, doesn't concern you, it should do because it's about truth.
Mm.
And if they can make the public or force the public into a lie about this, there are plenty of other things they can force you.
Look at what's happened to the Brits, you know, your first nomination. So, you know, these things, you know, when people say, oh, it doesn't really matter, and it may not, in terms of an awards ceremony. But, I mean, it does... things are changed. The world is a changing place as a result of... Because I think what people have worked out is that if you make enough noise about something for long enough, you'll get what you want.
Yeah, but women are... We are conditioned to being kind and saying, yes, and 10 years ago we shared our bathrooms with trans women. It wasn't a problem. It was only when the extremists came along and started this relentless attack on women and girls in schools as well.
Because there's plenty of trans
women
saying,
as well no, I will fight
who
them on
will
the street.
Not take part in this battle as well.
Many
because
of trans
who are very
women are
happy
against
to be,
this.
Yeah, of course. That's
so it's not... That's why I'm saying it does a disservice to the trans community.
They're asking us to... I mean, what they say is because this person was... in their minds, born a woman, born in the wrong body, has therefore always been a woman. OK, in their minds, sure, I'll even accept that, but biologically, you haven't always been a woman.
Mm.
And if the trans lobby would just allow us that little leeway
just
to just say, well, you know, you were born biologically a male, then this whole dispute would be kind of solved.
So why can't you say trans women are trans women? It's the truth, it's fact, it validates their existence.
Absolutely.
Because that's, but if you say that now, you can't go into acting, you can't be a pop star.
You,
so many now areas you will never be allowed to go into unless you follow the mantra that is not
it's
the truth.
But it's a denial of the truth.
It's a strange situation, isn't it?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's your second one, Kevin?
My second one is a GP called Dr. David Lloyd.
Oh, yes.
He was on Julia Hartley Brewer's Breakfast Show
recently. I've had him on my show.
And has written a piece in the Daily Mail. Basically, he is for medical fascism. He is for Britain copying Austria and making the COVID vaccination mandatory by law. He wants to live in a country where the government injects you with chemicals by law, by order of the law. Mm. I put on Twitter this morning, I said, forgive him, he's thick. He knows not what he says. You know, don't tell me all doctors are really, really bright. They're not.
Well, no, that's why we shouldn't be ruled by doctors, because the doctors and the scientists might be good at what they do in their individual roles. Yeah, but what they're not great at is understanding the human condition.
And even having common sense.
And I know where he's coming from. He believes, I'm not sure he's exactly right, but he believes that mass vaccination will cure the COVID problem. And he thinks that, because that's his job, is more important than anything else in the world. Well, I'll tell you it's not, because I'll tell you what is more important is that we do not live in a tyranny under an authoritarian government that will force you by law to undergo a medical procedure. It must never happen in this country.
No.
And David Lloyd should hang his head in
shame. I don't
think
it ever will happen in this country. But also, the other thing is, you can find loads of doctors that will say all sorts of different things. There was a guy on TV over the weekend who's from the Oxford vaccination group or something like that, the people who actually came up with it, who said, you know, actually, we'd be better off not giving boosters to people. We'd be better off giving those vaccines away to other countries who don't have any, and so that they can make better use of them. Because, frankly speaking, he said, if you've got two jabs, you're basically 95% protected anyway. Now, the government doesn't tell you that. The government says you're only 60% protected with the two, and you'll get 90 if you get the third one. All these people can't be right. They're
and
all saying
also
different
be,
things.
Will also they be forced then to get the fourth booster, the fifth booster, and it will never, ever end. Oh. It reminds me, the West was horrified when China put in its forced sterilisation of women for health, public health reasons, so too many people, and now they're all embracing this forced medicalisation. Even my most fanatical, lovey lockdown friends who loved it, you know, having rosé in the back of their garden and enjoying lockdown, and we are so much poles apart, they are 100% against forced medicalisation of anyone.
And they want to vaccinate five-year-old kids to go down.
I think you should be very suspicious of anyone.
I think it's a bunch of weirdos who want to touch our children.
This is the crux of this argument. People like David Lloyd and a million Guardian readers. It's funny the way it's the left that want this authoritarianism, this tyranny.
Well, they're famously the ones that normally get it. But
this is what they cannot get through their heads, is this. What they believe fervently is the decision to get the vaccine is superior to the decision not to get the vaccine. It's not. Everybody has the right to make that decision either way. If you want to get the vaccine, absolutely fine. It's a free country.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do it. Read all the facts, and if you think that's the best for you, have it done. If you read all the facts and you decide not to have it, or even if you don't read all the facts and you decide not to have it, that is your right. That is not an inferior decision. It is a decision.
But then...
But then,
of course, there are the other people who sit somewhere in the middle who say, well, that's fine. You can make that choice not to have it, but if you don't have it, then you will be restricted in what you'll be able
to do. Wrong.
And of course they're wrong.
That is presupposing that the decision not to have the vaccine is inferior.
Oh, I know. No, I know why they're doing it. I'm saying that they shouldn't do it. Mm. But what I'm saying is that they think of themselves as being very wise because they're telling you that you should get it because you'll protect everybody else. Well, that's rubbish, as everybody knows.
And I think they also belong to the same group of the kind of curtain twitchers and the snitches, the people who phoned up on their neighbours. I don't think it's a very nice group of people, the ones that want to force people to take injections.
These are the same people that would report you for going out during lockdown. You know,
demonising people who decide not to have the vaccine. Even if they decide not to have the vaccine because they think Bill Gates has put microchips in it and
but they can have whatever reason they want.
Exactly right, Mike.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what their reason is. It doesn't matter how wrong they might be. They have the right to make that decision, just as some people who make the decision to have the vaccine make that decision for the wrong reason.
Yeah. But it also
they have the right to do it.
It's a free...
Right to be wrong is the point.
You have, but it sends a really dangerous message that the government can force medicalisation. So the vaccine lovers, I'm actually a vaccine lover, but I'd never force it on anyone else. But the people who want to may be celebrating Austria now, but 10, 15 years down the line when there's another medicalisation or another vaccine or medicine the government want forced, they'll have made...
Even the Austrians aren't celebrating Austria. Yeah. I mean, they're having to. I mean, I can't believe that we're now living in a time when people are being shot at, right?
Yes,
by their own police in the Netherlands, right?
Because they didn't have a vaccine.
But not having a vaccine.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, if you'd said that to me 10 years ago, don't worry, Holland, you know, the place everybody used to go to sit in one of the, you know, cannabis cafes, have a bit of a spliff, hang about the red light district, have a look in the windows.
It's such a chilled country.
Yeah. Now they're shooting at people for not having a vaccine.
But this guy, David Lloyd, he justifies his ludicrously illiberal position by saying, you know, I've been on the front line and I've seen what COVID
what does
could
that
do.
Mean,
but that's like you and me, Mike, when we're on Fleet Street going, I'll tell you what, that circulation of our newspapers is really getting low. Let's force people to buy the papers by law at gunpoint.
Yeah, to be fair, we did try that. No, but, you know, it didn't work out so well.
Never going to work on Express, was it?
The frontline workers thing is really annoying me because there were lots of frontline workers, the delivery guys, the dustbin men, but this holy cow
How
of
come
NHS,
they're not all dead?
They now have a messiah complex and they literally think they're
the God. Totally. Because what you're going to do next is you're going to start patrolling Wormwood Scrubs and stopping people from playing football. You can't play football, you might end up in hospital. I mean, this is what they're talking like. It's like, don't get ill, protect the NHS. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, the NHS is there to help you when you're ill.
Yeah.
When you get ill, you go to the doctor. Yeah. The doctor doesn't come to you to tell you how to live your life so you don't have to go to it, because he doesn't know how to do that.
Loads of people.
Don't ride that
thousands
bike.
Thousands and thousands and thousands
All these cyclists.
Of have died because they were terrified of bothering the NHS. Mm. What a pernicious message, protect the NHS,
The Girls Aloud girl, that's Sarah Harding, for love.
Yeah.
And she was like, I didn't want to bother the NHS, so I didn't go for my breast checkup.
Pernicious message. Outrageous.
Outrageous.
Now, it's getting a bit serious, this. It's quite good. It's supposed to be funny, you know. Have you got a funny one for the third one? I hope you have.
Yeah, I've got a really funny one.
I've got a funny one for my second one. It is, of course, the one and only Samantha Price. Yes. Now, for some reason, that's a name that sounds familiar. Is there another Samantha Price somewhere?
Sounds quite funny, doesn't it?
It does. But this is not sexy. This is Samantha Price, the headmistress, who is not in any way, shape or form. She's very much Twin Set and Pearls Brigade. She's apparently the headmistress of a very famous school called Benenden School in Kent.
Very
which
posh.
Apparently is so posh it costs £16,000 per term.
40,000 quid
now,
a year.
So if that's three... I know some places call it two terms now, so even if it's only two terms, that's 32
grand. I think it's 40 grand a year. 40
grand a year, definitely.
Yeah, I think, well, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah, Princess Anne and Rachel Weisz went there.
I dare say quite a few of your friends probably went there at one time or another. But she decided to issue a statement, and I can only imagine that she's obviously in fear of losing her job or something because she's done something.
Doesn't want to be cancelled.
She doesn't want to be cancelled.
Probably been caught snogging someone.
Yeah, probably, It's very possibly so.
No.
Anyway,
that's a joke.
She says, it's wrong to dismiss young people demanding change as snowflakes and woke. It's wrong. How is it wrong to use words to describe a group of people who are doing something that you don't actually think is a very good idea? She claims that if people keep slagging them off, they might give up on equality campaigns. Now, there's nothing like going to a £40,000 a year school and demanding equality for everybody. So, what, are you going to pay for other people to go to the school? Is that equal? I mean, I don't imagine there's much equality going on in Benenden, do you?
She's worried also that they're going to give up on their campaigns for sustainability. Good!
Well, it's
not enough sustainability
it's about
for one.
spending a lot of money, a lot of spare time. It's the middle class guilt complex. You see it in climate change. Now it's, listen, it's really embarrassing. We've got a lot of money. You don't really need a job. So let's join a bandwagon of justice for someone. And actually saying to children, woke is dangerous. Mm. Being woke and politically correct kills, hurts, allows abuse, ring fences, yeah. paedophiles, criminals. Mm-hmm. It is not a good thing being
no,
woke.
It really
being
isn't.
A reasonable, kind person supporting anti-racist
right.
campaigns.
But as the
fantastic.
Headmistress
being
of a girls'
a
school,
thing.
Is it not her job to kind of instill these kind of values in the people that she's teaching for £40,000 a year? She says this, I think that if they are consistently dismissed in this way, then what will happen is that they will just give up. Well, she's not teaching them much resilience in this well, yeah, £40,000 a year school.
I don't care anyway. Right. I don't care.
But it doesn't reflect
it's a free
well
country.
Teaching.
I've got the right to call her pupils snowflakes and woke.
Also, does
if
she
I
not know
to?
Anything about
well,
what people do?
I don't care
do.
If they give up.
But also, doesn't she know what people do, right? As they go into their 20s and into further maturity, what was such a passion for them will end up by just going by the wayside.
Yeah, like the rest
well,
of us.
Like
yeah.
the rest of us do. You know, yeah. you vote Labour when you're 20, and you vote Tory when you're 30,
but what,
generally speaking.
We're also bringing up a very fragile generation. I'll give you an example. At my daughter's school, the headmistress did an assembly on Rosie Duffield
oh, yeah.
and protected her right to free speech to say women had cervixes, blah, blah, blah. Three girls cried in the assembly. Some girls walked
cried.
Out. Absolutely the horror... The horror of free speech and the horror of this woman saying only women had cervixes, they walked out of the assembly.
Right.
So actually, this stuff is dangerous
yeah.
because what you're saying to girls is don't debate anyone who calls you names,
no.
run away,
yes.
instead of saying, actually, no, I'm not woke, I'm like
I
this.
I don't agree
it's
with you,
really
so therefore
message.
This is what I'm going to say about
yeah,
it. I mean,
she's really worried about
it. Is Ms. Price really preparing her pupils, her snowflake woke pupils, for the real world? No. She's the problem. Yeah. I mean, she should be telling them, look, it's all great that you're into sustainability inequality campaigns. But when you get out there, outside of those school gates, you might find that real life is a little different.
Yeah, they're going to be eating for breakfast,
yeah.
these girls. It's a shame, because I want robust, strong
girls. She's what she's doing. She's the classic... manoeuvre by someone who doesn't want to get cancelled, want to play safe in tomorrow, yeah. in today's modern environment. She's venerating the young and decrying the old.
But you don't want yeah. it in our schools.
Yeah. Evil, no. cynical
also,
old people.
Also, yeah. one of the reasons, and I'm sure, that, again, I should be told that I'm too old and I should shut up, but, I mean, the reason why you don't let 20-year-olds run the country is because all they do at the moment is burst into tears and sort
and
of...
need a safe space.
And need a safe space to go and stand somewhere
unless
because
we're triggered,
you're not listening to me.
Yeah. And then they know. Turn into Sam Smith.
I mean, The one thing that she does say, which is good, is that she doesn't agree with the kids taking days off school to go and campaign against climate change because she thinks that you might be able to get a better, more a decent level of productivity by doing something at school. But, I mean, schools are... even my kids' school was encouraging them to take the day off
yeah.
to go if they wanted to go to some Extinction Rebellion march in London. I'm like, you're not taking the day off.
No, bloody
thing. Just be joking.
Right. All 16-year-olds should go out and get a job, number one.
Yeah.
They should all be working at the local restaurants. None should be
right.
safer surfing.
Well, my older one's working in a pub. You know, good luck to
right,
them.
Right, mine's at a restaurant. But the problem is this, that we're bringing up a generation who's one day going to make our laws,
yeah.
they're one day going to be in government, and they can't even take debate.
No.
It doesn't bode well
does
for
not.
Us.
It does not. I mean, in my sister's time, and Kevin's and mine, I'm sure it was more or less the same, she was always missing assembly on the grounds that she and her friends had stolen some cider from somewhere. And they were off somewhere down by the back of the tennis courts drinking it, you know.
Sauvignon Blanc in your
well,
sister.
I was going to say it started a lifelong career of drinking. But no, she went to the Sacred Heart School in Hammersmith, you know, which is now, I think, an independent, but it was quite a good sort of grammar school for girls, Catholic grammar school run by nuns. So naturally, it was like St. Trinian's.
Yeah.
You know, all the girls were great fun, and I can attest to that personally. But also, not just that, they grew into very successful people.
Yeah.
Because they had a proper education and a proper kind of, you know, worldly view of what was going on.
Well, if I was at school now, I'd just claim I'd be triggered by everything to be able to skip classes
just not
and just
go
have
in.
A day off.
Absolutely right. Well, I imagine that's probably going on quite a lot. Right, so your third.
Right, well, it kind of follows on from this, because I think this plank is slightly worried about being cancelled too, so he's come out with a slightly ridiculous statement, in my opinion. It's Eddie Redmayne.
Ah, yes.
So Eddie Redmayne is a sweet English actor. He's a bit of a sort of piffle. You know, sort of a Hugh Grant, nicey.
People
boy.
Quite like him, don't they?
He is. He's kind of
seems
adorable
like a nice
and
yeah.
cute, and he's freckly, and he's very sweet.
Another old Etonian.
Mm.
Yes, they have all the wokest lot, the posh lot, because they have the privilege of living in their ivory towers and not dealing with real life.
He used
but anyway,
his prime ministers now produces
yes,
rubbish actors.
Little, yeah. But bless his cotton socks, he's been so terrified, I think, of being cancelled for the part he played in The Danish Girl. He played a transgender woman, one of the first women to have reassignment surgery, and he took the part on, and now he's apologising for it. He said it was a mistake because only transgender women should play the transgender role. Now, there are so many problems with an actor coming out and saying this is what acting is about now. You have to have lived experience of the character to be able to play it. So it's not about acting
you
anymore.
You have to be the character.
You have to be the character.
You can't actually play the character.
No, two
ridiculous.
Things.
Yeah. One, what is acting? Isn't it pretending to be someone else?
Well, this reminds me, I'm sorry to interrupt you, I'll let you finish the story of the great story that Dustin Hoffman told once he was doing Marathon Man with Laurence Olivier. And, you know, that period where he's being sort of, you know, he's being operated on with the dentist's equipment and all this kind of stuff. And he comes into work on the Monday to the set and he's completely, like, you know, filthy, hair's all matted, you know. And Laurence says to him, "Dear boy, what have you been doing?" And he was like, "Well, I've just been trying to get into character because, you know, I'm spending time on the streets, so I've been sleeping on the streets." And he just went, "Dear boy, it's called acting. I'm at the Carlisle." You know, because that's the point, isn't
it? What are they getting paid for? Because what happens to all the films about murderers and rapists? Mm. And do we have to have characters who have been all these horrific criminals?
God.
No, so they can live the experience. And poor, you know, look at Luke Evans. He's a gay guy. He played the role of Gaston in Sleeping Beauty. He'd be out. No, no black woman could play a white role. No, this is ridiculous.
It's not the other way around. That's not allowed.
We see woke cannibalism. They eat each other. He's come out saying only transgender people.
Was it Anne Boleyn, the Channel 5 one?
But not just Anne Boleyn. Like, this whole thing about James Bond as well. Eddie Redmayne's basically come out and said, no. Only people of that character must be able to play it with characteristics. So it's woke cannibalism, of course, but what he's doing is making a mockery of acting as well. And it's just getting a bit silly.
But also, it's kind of all right, isn't it, for people like him who have made millions from acting to say, "I'm not ever going to do anything now which is going to offend anyone." But if you're on your way up and you've literally just come out of drama school and you've been offered a job in a play in the West End for sort of 25 quid a night or something, you know, you're not going to go, "Oh, I can't get that. Well, I can't take that," can you?
Like, good actors are now going to be too terrified of accepting roles. And we have Daniel Day-Lewis with My Left Foot, so you can no longer play disabled people.
He's not left-footed.
Well, you know, all these silly things. But what is kind of scary, in a way, is at the time Eddie was told by trans groups, "This is offensive."
Yeah.
But he still went ahead and made his millions. It's only now a certain film's coming out where he's playing in, I think it's Incredible Creatures or something, the J.K. Rowling books. That's just about to be launched. Okay. That is coming out with this. Oh, by the way, I'm really sorry about that.
But I don't have any problem with a black actor or an actor of colour playing Macbeth or something like that. But there does seem to be a problem with white actors playing.
Well, it's the double standards. Yeah. Stick to a rule for everyone.
But this is the thing.
I wonder whether the gender argument about the Brits, it's all very coming together, this show, because everything's kind of interrelated. But
you do wonder
if you start there out, going out as a casting director, whether you then have to start thinking, well, I'm not actually going to now have any genders in mind for the character that's going to play Othello. Maybe it will just be a person.
Yes.
And so that could be a winner.
But they will not be given Othello. It's not going to be played by someone who's white, I guarantee you.
Well, it might not be, but it might be played by someone who's not a bloke.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't really like that very much. I think that's kind of
stupid.
How to
put us off movies.
It's going out of your way to be different, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's
if it sells the production...
Sorry, hello? That's what's going on.
Yeah.
Of course they're going out of their way to be different. That's the point, isn't it? But you can only go in one direction to be different.
They're not going out of their way to let a white person play Othello, though, are they?
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment.
They're not doing that, Mike. They're not doing that ever.
Have you seen the recent CNN article this week about the most dangerous thing in America is an angry white man?
No, yeah.
So I just think it's all
about this, because that guy that drove the red SUV wasn't white.
I know, but these are the articles being spun out at the moment. This kind of, it's okay to fuel hatred against white men. And I think in the acting world, in the singing world, everything is kind of a bit about stick it to the white guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm all in favour of that, to be honest. I'll stick it to him. Now, we're running out of time because you've been rabbiting on too much. So get your third one out of the way quickly.
My third one is Andrew Marr, who's quitting,
talking of angry white men.
BBC after 21 years.
I'm angry.
Because he needs to re-find his voice, to find his voice again.
Oh, yeah. Not left-wing enough.
So the BBC has suppressed what he feels.
What?
What he thinks. Well, you can't say what you think.
You must be joking.
Well, you can't think what you say what you think.
Well, you can if you're Andrew Marr, because, you know, he's only what he thinks.
No, not really. I mean, you know, I get his point.
Well,
I mean,
is he going to come secretly out in favour of UKIP or something?
Well, no.
He's wanted to join the Reform Party for a long time.
Gonna,
that's what he said. He needs to find his voice again.
Oh, yeah.
So he feels like so many people at the BBC. He didn't actually use these words, but in essence, like the rest of them there, he's been infantilized by a system that doesn't allow them to express their opinions. I think the BBC ought to recalibrate that and just let them do. You know, they were so desperate for us not to Brexit. If they'd have allowed their presenters to say what they think, maybe we wouldn't have Brexited. But because they like to pretend they're impartial, nobody believes they are.
No.
They like to pretend it. Their presenters aren't allowed to say what they think. Aren't allowed to express their opinion.
But they're allowed to make fun of people they don't agree with.
Well, Andrew Marr is breaking out of the shackles of that straitjacket. And he wants to be able to speak out on what he really believes in. And guess what topic he wants to really speak out about, really get to
grips with.
Something
that nobody's talking about.
It's something that no one is talking about. And thank God he's going to be able to awake us to the importance of this issue. Climate change. God almighty. Shut up, Andrew. Nobody cares
also,
what you think about
also,
climate change.
As well as going to work for the world's worst radio station, he's going to work for Classic FM as well.
Yeah.
So he's going to do a music show with classical music.
Yeah. Oh, bless him.
He could have done that at Radio 3.
But I mean, but
he wanted to take a step back.
But this is the extraordinary oppression of this mass, swirling mass of groupthink. You know, COP26, Prince Charles, Prince William, Bill Gates, Boris Johnson, Extinction Rebellion,
Jeff Bezos, Sharma.
All shouting from the same hymn book. You know, I couldn't work out what are you protesting about? They're saying the same thing inside the hall.
Yeah.
Groupthink. Everybody thinks the same thing. So Andrew Marr actually thinks he can make an important contribution to the climate change debate. Here's what you want to know, Andrew, about climate change. Loads of us couldn't give a damn about it.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Well, my final one, we've mentioned it already once, is Adele. So she's demanded that Spotify take out the shuffle button so that when you're listening to her album, you have to listen to it in the order that she wants you to listen to it in, right? Now, what?
Could somebody tell me what the shuffle button's for? What is the point
Poor
of
old
it? I never understood.
Come on, Kev.
I know what it does. What's it for?
Well, it's if you don't want to listen to all the songs in the same order all the time.
Who cares about that?
Well, lots of people
do. But,
no, they don't. I don't know anyone who's ever pressed the shuffle button.
All right,
on
let's put it this way. If you have a playlist, you know what that is?
Yes, of course. I know what the shuffle button is as well.
See, I'm just saying,
what's the point of it?
Well, the point of it is, for example, if you have a playlist, right, and you listen to it in the car, if you don't press the shuffle button, it plays all the songs in the same order all the time.
And
if you've
got a playlist, what do you think I am?
The point is,
16.
Kev,
well,
it's
I've got a playlist. Why don't you have
got
a playlist?
Pop singer who's
because I'm not a spotty-faced teenager.
Adele is supposed to be Adele from the streets, from the block. It's
in
Adele
it.
In it.
Yeah,
in
from
it.
Tottenham.
And then she's all princessy.
And she did this. Right. And then she did this.
But I really like her. An
audience. Well, a lot of people really like her. But and this is why we call it Plank of the Week. It doesn't mean we don't like something. It just means they're a bit planky, right? She does this thing, an audience with Adele, which was filmed at London Palladium. Before a star-studded audience of fans, you know, Emma Thompson gets up, having flown in from Los Angeles, talking of climate change, to say, oh, was there ever anyone in your life that was an inspiration to you? And, you know, they're all asked to ask sort of any interesting questions.
That I haven't seen for
and
a
then,
long time.
And then it turns out that it was a teacher.
I'll never do what
And then it turns out that the teacher's also in the audience. I mean,
that
who would have guessed it? Who would have guessed it?
What a coincidence.
And then she got up on the stage and had a big hug.
Oh, my God,
and
I totally cried at that point, by the way.
She goes, oh, can I get your phone number? Off the teacher, who she obviously knew was going to be there, who she obviously presumably has had a conversation with and presumably has got the phone number already.
There was nothing contrived about it.
I mean, and all of those, and I know that people like watching that sort of stuff, but it's not for me. I can't do it because it's all contrived. And as I say, Emma Thompson flies in from LA to ask this question. Then she's dancing and it's like everybody, I mean, Piers Morgan actually was quite funny. He was saying he would ask a question because he wasn't there. I presume because ITV don't particularly like him at the moment. He said, well, I would ask you, why have you got all these sycophantic sort of celebrities that follow you around?
They're all there.
They
should have been.
Samuel L. Jackson was there.
David Tennant. You had to be there.
All the love.
But anyway, this nasty criticism of Adele, Mike, if I may say so, is typical of someone like you.
Yeah, beautiful.
Very good. Somebody said to me, you know, she's done 21, 25, 30. Can't wait for 60. When she's going, when you're coming back from the pub.
No, 90. She'll be 60 going, I'm all alone. Also, it doesn't.
It won't be so much rolling
there
in the deep, but we're rolling in something else.
Rolling in the care home. Yeah, rolling in the bath chair.
Because if she's so useless with men, I mean, she clearly can't have boyfriends that do very well.
Absolutely
she's,
right.
Someone
old
own
like you.
Yeah. I know, she does need to mix it up a bit. I would be terrified of a boy dating her right now because, you know, you'll be in the next album, her slagging
that's
you
right
up.
Yeah, and also I don't want to talk about my divorce. I'm just going to write a lot of songs about it and then play them to my son so that he can know what it was like.
Yeah, no,
very
it's
good
mean.
It is a bit mean.
I like Adele,
so
but she needs to change her subject matter.
She's going really
out with
does
a sports promoter.
Yeah,
is
it, well, he's very
she
well
must
fit
be going to you're next.
Yes, I know. Next. He's going to be like this, you know, being very careful everything he says, or maybe he wants to be her next
yeah
album.
Right, maybe. So now we're going to find out exactly who is going to become Plank of the Week. Now we've got to pick the one from the three, as it were. So, Kevin, why don't you tell Belinda who your three are?
My three were the parole board, Dr. David Lloyd, the medical fascist, and Andrew Marr, the BBC dork.
Oh, so hard. I think I'm going to have to go for the medical fascist.
Yeah, it's going to have good to be choice. David Lloyd.
Dr.
Yeah.
David Lloyd, very good. OK, dangerous. So you tell me your
so
three.
I've got the Brits cancelling female and male, the Toronto School Board cancelling Yazidi girls, and Eddie Redmayne.
I'm going to go with the Brits. I think it has to be the Brits. And so you want to pick one of mine.
Which were?
I've got Prince Charles, I've got Samantha Price, and I've got Adele.
Well, I think we choose Adele. It's going to be very, very unpopular, and you know, I like to keep popular with
I know you do like to keep in with people.
Yeah,
but
for his ongoing, as displayed at COP26, which he arrived by jet at, for his ongoing, climate change hypocrisy, the gas guzzling, planet destroying,
cheese guzzling,
cheese guzzling. Planet-destroying Prince of Wales, Prince Charles.
OK, so the Brits, Prince Charles and Dr. David Lloyd.
That's a good list.
Yeah, it's a good list. Yeah, those are the final three. So what are we thinking?
I like Lloyd.
Yeah, I think actually...
Do you?
We've got to take a stand against...
That's a big call, though, to make
but
one individual doctor
message
carrying,
that's how the
carrying
Brits, the Brits is good, though, isn't
I
it?
Think the Brits,
Brits
is the winner.
Brits could set the tone.
And
commit.
I think him coming second is pretty
powerful. Yeah, with you.
Him,
with
then
you.
David, then Charles.
Yeah. With you.
I mean, even though I think the Brits are going gender-free is a good thing, I'm actually going to vote them Plank of the Week. So how does that work?
Yeah,
I'm not quite sure. I'm
actually
confused.
I think the Brits, in hope that it's half the time it is next year and the speeches are half as long.
Well, I was saying it's actually earlier on today. They could just have one award.
Yeah.
Just call it the Brit.
Yeah, the Brit Award.
You call a load of people in, right? You go, right, here it is. Here's the three nominations. So-and-so. Oh, Adele's won it. There you go. That's it. That's the end of the show.
Adele's going to win everything anyway, let's be honest.
The Brits.
The Brits. I like it. I
think that's good. All right, so the Brits, number one. We will say Prince Charles, number three. Dr. David Lloyd, number two.
Yeah.
Quite a good one, that. So well done to the Brits for managing to get yourselves on the front page of The Sun this week, but also to become Plank of the Week as well. Absolutely brilliant. Well played. And Kevin O'Sullivan, thank you very much indeed. Belinda, lovely to see you again. We'll see you next time.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.